many of us spend a lot of time thinking about how our brain is aging. We exercise, we do crosswords, eat leafy greens and berries, and pop supplements. But did you know research has found that we can also give our brains a workout with something that we do constantly, without thinking? Wendy Suzuki is professor of neural science and psychology in the Center for Neural Science at New York University. She's written Healthy Brain, Happy Life. Our managing producer, Sally Swift, checked in with her.
Wendy, nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So you have written a ton about how exercise can make your brain function better. But what have you discovered about the role of food and eating in brain function?
Yeah. So this is not my research, but there is growing research on the effects of different kinds of foods, including the effects of sugar on brain function. And sugar in particular has kind of a double-edged sword. It's a little bit like stress. So a little bit of sugar can be great to focus your attention, make your memory better, mm-hmm. but too much chronic sugar has very bad effects, not only for the body, but for the brain as well. Similar to stress, where a little shot of stress when it's needed in a stressful situation can help push more blood to your muscles and kind of enhances various brain functions. But again, too much can actually result in cell death.
You have done a little bit of work, though, on smell, or at least I know you're interested in smell.
Yeah. So I'm interested in smell because of my 20 years of experience studying this critical structure of the brain, critical for long-term memory. It's a structure called the hippocampus. So we know that if you don't have your hippocampus, you can't form any new long-term memories. And the sense of smell has this privileged access to the hippocampus in essentially one connection or one synapse. Smell information can go directly into this hippocampus structure important for long-term memory. By contrast, the other senses, vision and hearing and touch, have to go through many, many more synapses and much more processing before it gets to the hippocampus.
Has there been a lot of research on the olfactory end of things? Or is this, one of the oldest parts of our brain, is that correct?
Absolutely. It's one of the oldest senses present in, very low animals or very simple animals, I should say. And there has been an enormous amount of research on the olfactory system, but it's relatively late. Why? Because it's actually very complicated, despite the fact that it's evolutionarily old, very complicated. In fact, more difficult to understand than some of the other senses. The sense that we understand the most from a neuroscience perspective is vision. And that is very straightforward, and we've kind of learned a lot about the brain through our study of the visual system. Olfaction is kind of a harder code to crack, yet there have been great successes, and multiple Nobel Prizes have gone to neurobiologists focused on how we code and differentiate between different senses within the olfactory system. So that's kind of on an upswing. It's like the hot new sense to study in neuroscience is olfaction.
Now, you actually write a little bit in your book about brain hacks, some exercises
yes.
that people can do to improve our brains by working with smell.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is kind of the paradigm of the sommelier and somebody that wants to learn how to, differentiate and appreciate different wines. They say that anybody can learn how to do that. You may not become a master sommelier, but you can learn. And the trick is to simply give yourself lots of different olfactory stimulation. How do you do that? Well, pick your most odoriferous meal of the day. It might be breakfast with, rich toast and coffee and jam, and really pay attention to those different flavors. Really try and give yourself as much experience as possible. Go to an Indian restaurant if you're not familiar with Indian food and try and differentiate all the different flavors. This brain hack is based on a study that was done in rats that have a very good sense of smell, but they raised some rats in environments where they, what they call enriched the olfactory environment, which is they gave them lots of different smells to smell on a continuous basis all day. Simple things that you can get in the kitchen, basil and oregano, and they compared their olfactory brain, the olfactory bulb, to rats that were raised in an environment with no olfactory enrichment, with just the regular rat chow, and water. And what they found is that the olfactory bulb, this part of the brain critical for sensing smell, was significantly larger in the rats that had all of these different smells to experience all day. And so the implication is that we can do the same thing just by trying out different restaurants and different kind of cuisines with lots of different flavors. And the implication is that we would increase our olfactory bulbs. In fact, my thought experiment is that I would love to do a brain scan study on sommeliers versus just regular non-sommeliers and ask whether the olfactory bulbs of the sommeliers are significantly larger than the regular population, because that would be my prediction.
And essentially what you're saying is be mindful. I mean, if we're mindful and think about what we're eating, we're going to be building up as part of our brain. Now, what about the difficulty? Because I live with a wine person and he can name a smell in it just immediately comes to him. And he is someone who will say, this is something that I've practiced doing. But is there something different about the link between smell and getting the word, the language to work for people?
Yeah. It turns out that olfactory information goes directly to the hippocampus and also goes to these olfactory brain areas that process olfaction. It turns out that you have to go through a lot of synapses, a lot of connections for that olfactory information to get to the language part of our brain. And that is very different from visual information for humans. That goes directly to our language capacity. And it's very easy to describe visual things that we see. But the hypothesis is because there is no direct connection from the olfactory areas of the brain to the language areas of the brain, that makes it that much harder to describe these things verbally. And that is not to say that it can't be done, but it takes practice.
It's very interesting. Wendy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Wendy Suzuki is author of Healthy Brain, Happy Life. Now, to encourage more brain development, whip up a batch of salted lime syrup. It is fragrant beyond belief. It's from the book Infuse by Eric Prum and Josh Williams. It's really simple and refreshing when you mix it with a little fizzy water. Find it at splendidtable.org.